L. Frank Baum published The Wonderful Wizard of Oz in 1900 and went on to write 13 more Oz books. The iconic 1939 movie musical, The Wizard of Oz, is based on that first Oz book. Now comes Oz the Great and Powerful, which isn't based on a Baum book, but imagines the wizard's backstory. The film is directed by Sam Raimi and stars James Franco. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Oz the Great and Powerful. Say that name aloud and you will smile, I guarantee you. It will conjure up so many images, characters, actors, songs. Then hold that smile as long as you can, because you won't be doing much of it at the movie called Oz the Great and Powerful, the so-called prequel to The Wizard of Oz from Disney Studios. The filmmaker's notion is to go back before Dorothy and Toto and chart the journey from Kansas to Oz of the Wonderful Wizard himself, here called Oscar Diggs, and played by James Franco as a traveling carnival magician who uses his bag of tricks to get women into bed. No, it's not author L. Frank Baum's wizard, but I, for one, think the idea for the character is inspired. He's the kind of flim-flam artist Mark Twain might have come up with, and in fact did, in a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. The first sequence of Oz the Great and Powerful is a treat, not because it's that well written, but because it's in black and white, on a square screen, and full of carnival bric-a-brac. Director Sam Raimi was an adolescent Super 8 filmmaker and obviously relishes Oscar's primitive sleight of hand and the turn of the last century wardrobe. It's an exhilarating moment when Oscar seduces one woman too many and jumps into the basket of a hot air balloon ahead of an enraged strongman. As he floats away, cackling and razzing his pursuers, we see the funnel cloud in the distance behind him getting closer and closer. A short time later, the screen widens and color seeps in and we're in Oz. And then everything starts to get a wee bit snoozy. Oscar meets a lovely young woman named Theodora, played by Mila Kunis, who asks if he's the wizard foretold by legend who will free the Kingdom of Oz from enslavement. He says he is, of course, which allows him to seduce Theodora and, more to the point, gain access to the kingdom's vast supplies of gold. But to prove he's a wizard, he has to kill a certain wicked witch, along the way picking up a sidekick monkey that flies and talks in the voice of Zach Braff.
You're really gonna do this?
How hard could it be to kill a wicked witch?
Hard! Really hard! It's very, very hard to kill a wicked witch. And what about that poor girl back there? I think she really liked you.
She'll get over me. They always do. She's a pretty young witch. There'll be plenty of wizards knocking at her door.
Oh, every lie you tell gets us one step closer to the Emerald City dungeon.
Then don't think of them as lies. Think of them as stepping stones on the road to greatness.
Wait, I got it. We'll turn around and go back. You'll come clean. You apologize for lying about being the wizard and for lying to that poor girl, okay? You gotta really seem contrite. You gotta sell it. Maybe you can even cry. Can you cry? I could cut up an onion.
I'm not going back. We're gonna find this wicked witch, steal her wand. I'll get that big pile of gold, and you can have a nice pile of bananas, all right?
Bananas. Oh, I see. Because I'm a monkey, I must love bananas, right? That is a vicious stereotype.
You don't like bananas?
Of course I love bananas. I'm a monkey. Don't be ridiculous. I just don't like you saying it.
That is one lame back and forth. And I've seen few actors as unconvincing as James Franco when it comes to staring down and talking to a creature to be computer-generated later. And Franco doesn't just have to act opposite that insufferable monkey, but also a sassy talking China doll. It's not that Franco is bad. He doesn't risk enough to be bad. My guess is that with all his stammers and shrugs, opposite actors playing it straight, he's trying to be a cowardly hipster like Bob Hope in the Road pictures, or Woody Allen, who actually cited Hope as an inspiration in Sleeper. But Franco doesn't have the jokes. He's playing a non-committal character in a non-committal way, so that he sort of floats above the role. You want to yell, "This isn't a performance art project. You're carrying a movie." Songs would have helped. But I'm guessing Disney didn't want to draw obvious comparisons to Victor Fleming's 1939 classic. The Oz books might now be in the public domain, but the Judy Garland musical isn't, which is why everything in Oz the Great and Powerful must be distinctly different, reportedly down to the shade of green of the Emerald City. There are three reasons to see the picture, the trio of witches played by Mila Kunis, Rachel Weisz, and Michelle Williams. Well, Kunis might be out of her depth in a role that requires her to go from impossibly naive to mythically vindictive. But Weisz's Evanora and Williams's Glinda are deliciously stylized. They share the best scene, in which Evanora gets a palpable charge out of torturing the beatific little good witch Glinda before the citizens of Oz. It's the first time the actors look like they're enjoying themselves, maybe because there's no sign of Oz the small and wimpy.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Sharrock. Our engineer and technical director is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hirschfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Nell Beschenstein is our associate producer of online media. John Sheehan directed today's show. We'll close with a piece of music that's one of our favorites. It's jazz pianist Dick Hyman playing Duke Ellington's Jubilee Stomp. Today is Dick Hyman's 86th birthday. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.